Please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41, we'll start around verse 17. The Joseph plan. Let's see what Joseph will help us with regarding redeeming the time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the life of this young man, Joseph, and all that you have recorded in your word about him and the events of his life. And now we're going to look at it a little bit and see some things that parallel what we're going through in our world today. Lord, help us to see something that will help us to be responding to our present events in a similar fashion to the way Joseph responded to his. And as we do so, may you be glorified through our lives. Please help us now in this study, and I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. These are uncertain times. Is the pandemic ever going to end? How high will the price of gas eventually go? Will the shelves in the stores keep getting emptier? Will inflation keep getting worse? Will the crime crisis that is affecting a lot of the larger cities come closer to home? Will radical ideology dominate the education of our children? Will the government keep eroding our freedoms? Will the economy collapse because of how much debt our government is carrying? The list could go on and on. In times of great adversity, it is important that Christians be prepared to be used by God no matter how challenging the times become. Just like Joseph. Genesis chapter 41, God gave to Pharaoh two dreams. Verse 17, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored, and leaned flesh." Verse 20, "And the lean and ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven." Verse 22, "And I saw in a dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered thin and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them." Joseph explained to Pharaoh that this was all about what God planned to do. Verse 28. "This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there came 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. There will come, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine." Verse 32. "And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass." Now, in Joseph's situation, the coming famine was absolutely certain, and Joseph was even given an exact timeline for these things to take place. God not only decreed that it would happen, but when it would happen. giving certainty to tomorrow for Joseph and the Egyptians. Now, in our situation, it's a little bit different. Nobody knows for sure what is going to take place tomorrow. Will Russia invade Ukraine? Nobody really knows for sure. There are some similarities, however, and we'll talk about those in a moment, between what we're going through now and what Joseph went through. And there are certainly some things for us to learn from Joseph's life and plan, the plan of God for Joseph's life. First of all, whatever happens is within the scope of God's plan. We must accept that. Whatever happens is within the scope of God's plan. Joseph had the benefit of knowing exactly what was going to happen tomorrow. For 7 years of tomorrows, there would be plenty. And then for 7 years of tomorrows, there would be famine. He knew exactly what was going to happen. Now, we don't have the benefit of knowing exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. But in both situations, we can be absolutely confident that whatever happens, God is doing it. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Don't bow down to me, bow down to God." Verse 20. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." From the time that Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, God had an elaborate plan which he was working out to impact the world. Does God have a plan for today? Joseph had a definite timeline to follow. He knew exactly what was going to happen for the next 14 years. We don't know when, but actually we do know some things that are going to happen. We know, for example, that Jesus is going to rapture the church out of the earth. We know that. That's going to happen. We know that the world is going to go through 7 years of tribulation. We know that's going to happen. We know that at the end of those 7 years, Jesus is going to come back to the earth and establish his kingdom here on earth. We know that's going to happen. We just don't know when. The things that are happening in our world today, therefore, we must conclude, are part of God's plan in working out the preparations for what we know is going to eventually happen. Be assured that whatever is happening in our world today is within the scope of God's plan. So, first of all, we must accept that God is working out his plan in the world. Secondly, we must, as Christians, demonstrate true wisdom. Worldly wisdom was insufficient in Joseph's day. Look in Genesis chapter 41, back at the beginning of the chapter. Genesis chapter 41, verse 1, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed." So we know Pharaoh had these dreams. He dreamed once. In verse 5, he dreamed a second time. And so in verse 8, Genesis chapter 41, verse 8, "It came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream. but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Worldly wisdom couldn't help. We might be seeing a lot of that today. Worldly wisdom being far too insufficient. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 to 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in his own craftiness. But God gives wisdom to his people. And it is something that he can grant on a moment's notice or at any time in your life. Remember what James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. Back in Genesis chapter 41, we see that God gave tremendous wisdom to Joseph. Genesis chapter 41 and verse 33. Genesis chapter 41, verse 33. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. And Joseph describes for Pharaoh exactly what needs to be done through the 7 years of plenty to prepare for the 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh recognized the wisdom of Joseph's words in verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. The world may not like us. They may seek to control us. They may even seek to confine us. But when they can't come up with the answers, they will recognize our wisdom. You see, we have the same Spirit of God that Joseph had. We have the same access to the wisdom of God that Joseph had. And back to 1 Corinthians, this time chapter 1, here is what God can do with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, because the foolishness of the world, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. Note, here's what we can do to confound the wise. Did you know we could do that? We can confound the wise people of the world. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world. Here's another thing we can do. Through the work of God, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can confound the things that are mighty. And base things, verse 28, of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not. Here's the third thing that we can do. We can bring to naught things that are. Those are some amazing things that we can do through the power of the Holy Spirit that lies within us. Now, granted, Joseph had the benefit of a government leader who was willing to listen. We may not have that benefit. Is it okay if I bring up something that's going on in Canada? It's not the United States. I hope I won't be accused of being political if I talk about Canada. Here's what I heard in the news regarding those protesting truckers up in Canada. The truckers who are protesting said this: "We just want the Prime Minister to talk to us, and he has not done so." If only he would listen. Pharaoh listened to Joseph and recognized that God had given him wisdom. Here's the thing. We must be ready, just in case either a government leader or our next door neighbor, for anyone who wants to listen. You know the verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Be, what's the word? Ready. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. We must be ready to speak the wisdom of God whenever someone is willing to listen. Because if they're willing to listen, and we speak the wisdom of God, we speak the word of God, and they hear it, you know what the result will be. Faith comes from hearing. So, whatever's taking place is God's plan. We must be ready to speak the wisdom of God. Number three, we must always give God credit for everything. That's what Joseph did. Genesis chapter 41, verse 16. Genesis 41, verse 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not me." That's a humble statement, but a very true one. "It's not me," Joseph said. "God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Verse 25, same chapter, verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, "The dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do." Verse 32. "And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass." He did the same thing with his brothers over in chapter 45. If you would go there, chapter 45 and verse 5. Chapter 45, verse 5, he's talking to his brothers and he says, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Verse 8. "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." Verse 9. "Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt." This is what we must do in everything that happens in our lives. Give God the credit. He's the one that's doing it. You know the verses, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Those two verses, often quoted together, but I want to bring attention to a particular word in verse 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. So we look up the word. Don't assume what the word acknowledge means. Look it up in the dictionary. And I look it up in the dictionary. And here's the definition of the word acknowledge. Cause to know. In all thy ways, cause God to be known. I found three words in the Psalms that are similar, connected, that describe what this is talking about. Psalm 25, verse 6. Well, that doesn't match up. Oh, verse 7. No, I've got the wrong psalm. Well, I don't know which psalm it is, but here's what the verses say. Sorry about that. Somebody can maybe look it up. The verses 6 and 7 in whichever psalm it is, I have the wrong psalm number. I think. Oh, it's Psalm 26. There we go. Psalm 26. Verse 6, that was easy enough. I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Tell all his wondrous works. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 27. Psalm 119, verse 27, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. And then Psalm 145, verse 5. Psalm 145 and verse 5. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty. How do we cause God to be known in all our ways? We tell of his wondrous works. We talk about his wondrous works. And we speak of the glorious honor of his majesty. Let me tell you what the Lord has done in my wife's life. Back in January, I had COVID. I had pneumonia, went to the hospital, was in the hospital 3 days. When I came home, they put me on home hospital care. So they come in, the nurse comes into the house and is caring for me, and we get on this Zoom thing with the man who's in charge of the home hospital care, and he's asking how I'm doing, and I begin telling him about my wife, and he said, well, we can care for her too. And eventually they ordered some blood work for her on a Monday. That evening, Monday evening, that man called our house, said she had to get to the hospital right away. Her hemoglobin was at a critical level. Go to the hospital, they find out she's bleeding internally. They were able to fix it by banding the veins in her esophagus. I am absolutely convinced I had COVID to be put on home hospital care so that my wife would get the treatment she needed. Because if the nurse had never come into our house, we never would have known she'd been bleeding internally. God did that. Now this time, on Saturday, a week ago Saturday, she's in a lot of pain. We go to the hospital. They determine her bowel is inflamed. And the logical conclusion is that it's an infection. But when all of the tests come back, there is no infection. It gets the attention of a lot of doctors. There were times there were as many as 8 doctors in her room at one time. She has a picture of 6 of them all together. They did every test we ever wanted to be done. They did the procedures we were anticipating would take months to get accomplished. They did a procedure that made the blood flow much better for her, a certain part in her body. All because her bowel was inflamed, not for the logical reason. It was such an interesting case that they asked before she left the hospital if they could write a paper for a national medical magazine about her case and present it to a national medical convention a year from now. All because her bowel became inflamed for an illogical reason. God did that. Unfortunately, she had to experience a great deal of pain to get to the place where she could get all of this attention. But it's what God used to bring that to pass. One of the best ways that you can witness to someone is to tell them what God has done in your life. Tell them about the time that you got saved. Tell them about the time you came to realize that you were a sinner and received Christ as your Savior and the impact that salvation has had in your life. That's your experience of what God did in your life. They can't deny it. You know, people talk about, oh, it's my experience. This is what I experienced. Okay, tell them about your experience. They can't deny it. But in the process, you're telling them what God has done and giving him the credit for it and giving him credit for everything. Sometimes we don't realize it. Have you ever had a situation where you need to get someplace and all of a sudden there's road work and there's a detour? Have you ever come across that? And the detour goes around everywhere. And you say, oh, why? Stop to think. It may be because God is protecting you from some tragedy that could have happened if you'd gone the normal way. Just give God credit for everything. He has a plan. Joseph recognized. And here's the next thing. This is not a time to think simply about surviving. This is a time to be prepared to be used of God to minister to other people. Joseph's father and brothers were simply concerned about surviving. Genesis 42, verse 1. Genesis 42, verse 1. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. It's unfortunate that so many people today are simply interested in surviving. They just want to be able to afford to buy gas and groceries and the necessities of life. They want to get by from day to day. They want to have as many days as possible to survive. And it's amazing what some people are willing to give up in order to survive. But is that, should it ever be the primary goal of our lives, simply to survive? Joseph saw the bigger picture. Genesis chapter 45 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 45 and verse 5, he says, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Yes, preservation of life, but whose life? Joseph's life? No, Joseph didn't say, oh, he sent me down here so that you wouldn't kill me. No, Joseph wasn't saying, preserve my life, preserve the lives of others. Verse 6, for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you, posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph saw that God had done extraordinary things in his life, like having him sold into slavery. Tragedy. Spend years in prison. Tragedy. No, not to Joseph. He was always optimistic that even the tragic things that were taking place in his life were leading to some greater purpose God had for him. And in this case, so that God could use Joseph ultimately, not simply to preserve his own life, but to preserve the lives of millions of others. Sometimes, the things we see as tragedies in our lives are simply tools that God uses to prepare us for some great purpose he wants to use us for, to impact the lives of others. You might be in the hospital, very ill, and have the opportunity to touch the life of a nurse or a doctor or a roommate who otherwise would never have been touched. What is the most difficult thing you're dealing with right now in your life? Think about it. How do you view this difficulty? Do you see it as an isolated event in your life that is only defined by the trouble it is causing you? Or can you see your present trouble as something God can use to prepare you for a greater purpose, to impact the lives of others? This is what he did for Joseph. And throughout his trouble, Joseph always remained positive. Instead of simply enduring the moment, he lived constantly in anticipation of what God was going to do. God is always doing something in our lives. The Bible says so. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God started something in your life when you were saved, and he is still doing it. God is always doing something in your life. And it has a purpose. You know the verse. Romans 8:28. You know it? And we know that all things work together for good. He doesn't say all things are good. He says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God has a purpose for what he's doing in your life. Don't look at your difficulties. Don't look at your trouble as an isolated event that is simply defined by the trouble it is causing you. See it as a moment of preparation. Something God is using to prepare you to impact the lives of others. That's the Joseph plan. That's God's plan for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for never giving up on us, always doing something in our lives, always preparing us for the purpose you have for us. Help us to see the difficulties, the trouble, even the tragedies in our lives as tools of preparation so that we can be ready to be used by you for your purpose in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.